Good morning and welcome to Calendar Bay Church Online. I'm Pastor John Intoff, and thanks so much for joining us for our worship service this morning. I hope that you've been able to get out and maybe enjoy some of the beautiful fall colors while we still have them, and just appreciating God's creation all around us. Thank you so much for your ongoing support of Calendar Bay Church. And many of you have been contributing to our ministry during these difficult days when things aren't really quite the way they normally are. You have continued to be faithful and generous, and so thank you so much for that. And if you want to give to the ministry of Calendar Bay Church, there's two ways that you can do it. One, you can mail your gift to us at Box 218, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. That's Box 218, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0, or you can conveniently and safely give online by going to our webpage, which is calendarbaychurch.ca, and you just click on the About tab, and there'll be a way right there that will say ways that you can give, and just click on that, and that will be able to help you so that you can give to our ministry here at Calendar Bay Church. Again, thank you so much for your generosity. Something different that we're going to be trying next week in our in-person service. We're going to be having a kids and youth service, specially designed. It's going to be very different than our normal regular service. And so you can be a part of that next week. Like our in-person service, you do have to register online, and masks will be required. But it should be something special for you and your kids. And so please register online for that. And then the next week, our regular in-person service will be back again. Operation Christmas Child. There is information on our webpage about how you can be a part of Operation Christmas Child. And so I would just encourage you to go to calendarbaychurch.ca, or you can get onto our mailing list, The Daily Encouragement, and it'll give you information about how you can be a part of Operation Christmas Child. Our youth group is up and running on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock here at the church. Joint venture between Calendar Bay Church and South Shore. And we want to say you're more than welcome to be a part of that. If you want some more information, you can call us here at the church, and we'd love to be able to direct you in the right spot to be able to talk about youth ministry. Small groups are up and functioning as well, and there's two going right now. And if you're interested in being a part of one of them, please call the church or message me or email me or phone me. And I'd love to get you connected into a small group. Our prayer meeting, we're going to try something different. We've been meeting Sunday nights here at the church, but we've decided to switch to a conference call. And so if you're interested in joining in on the conference call, just call me, and I'll be able to get you connected, get your number, and you can join us for a prayer time on Monday nights at 7 o'clock. I mentioned already our daily encouragement, and we have different ways that we're just trying to keep everybody connected here at Calendar Bay Church. You can join our Facebook group, or you can get on our email list, and we send out that 6 days a week, and just to give you some encouragement and keep you connected with the things that are going on or not going on here at Calendar Bay Church. We also have our prayer chain up and running. And so if you have a prayer request that you would like to send, just email that to prayerchain@calendarbaychurch.ca. And that way people in the congregation can pray for your specific need. We want to take the time to worship this morning and to just sing of the faithfulness of God. This is from one of my favorite passages of scripture, from Lamentations 3, where God talks about his faithfulness and that his mercies are new every morning. And this is a beautiful hymn that reminds us of that truth. And let's sing together, "Great is thy faithfulness."
Changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see, and all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. And great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, every morning new. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. So faithful to me.
Well, we're continuing on a series of messages called The Life You've Always Wanted, talking about spiritual disciplines for ordinary people like you and I, because God is very interested in us develop and growing and changing into who He wants us to be. And He wants us to be a part of that process. And so God is very interested in spiritual formation, transforming and changing us to be more into His image. And He set up these spiritual disciplines or these habits to help us in that process. And so last week we talked about the importance of the practice of celebration. And today we want to focus on another habit or practice that is very helpful and probably one that in our day and age is often ignored. Gary Smalley, in his book, a marriage book, talks about his family had a history of heart disease, and so he was going to see a cardiologist. And as he was in the waiting in the cardiologist's office for the doctor to come, he noticed that on the wall was a picture of the Titanic. And when the doctor came in, he said, "I noticed that you had a picture of the Titanic." He says, "Isn't that a little bit depressing to have in the office of a heart doctor?" And the heart doctor looked at Gary Smalley and said, "I have that there for a specific reason. Did you know that the Titanic was warned 3 times to change its course? And it didn't change its course." And then he looked at him and he said, "Gary, how many times have people told you need to change your lifestyle and you haven't listened to them?" And so the point was taken that sometimes in life we are warned about certain things, but oftentimes we ignore those warnings and we reap the consequences of that. And today we want to talk about that in our lives. One of the most destructive factors is hurry. That we are in always in a hurry. We're busy. We're running here, there, and everywhere. And even in the midst of COVID, we're still running fairly hard. And one pastor asked his mentor, what was it that would be the most significant thing that he would need to watch on his spiritual life? And he said, you need to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. You must ruthlessly remove hurry from your life. Most of us are busy and in a hurry. And to hear a piece of advice like that, we probably all, you know, kind of like Gary Smalley sitting in the doctor's office. Yeah, people have warned us. Yeah, we should probably slow down a little bit. We should not get so stressed out. Shouldn't be in such a hurry. But often we don't heed those warnings. John Ortberg says, for many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. So what he's saying is that we will be in such a hurry and so preoccupied with other things that we will settle for a mediocre version of the life that God intended us to live. And so we want to talk today about the practice of slowing down, the practice of solitude and being still. That God is very interested in us pulling aside and being in solitude and stillness with him. We are in a very hurried society. Speed was actually created. You know, I remember reading some things about in the 1960s. They said that, you know, we are creating such amazing time-saving things that we are going to have so much more spare time, and everybody's going to have to figure out what to do with our extra time that we've created because we've created these time-saving things. But instead of creating freedom and more time, it enslaved us and actually made us busier because we thought we could accomplish so much more. And we buy products that help us that promise to help us hurry. Everybody's interested in going so much faster. You know, I remember when I first got a microwave that I was like shocked that I could heat something up and it would be ready in a minute. And now we're you know, oh, come on, this has got to be faster, got to be faster. We're in such a hurry. And so we have become a very hurried society. Domino Pizza, a number of years ago, they came up with this campaign where it was 30 minutes or it was free. You could order a pizza, and within 30 minutes, that pizza would be made and delivered to your house. And the Domino Pizza people said, we don't sell pizzas, we sell delivery. And now we're all in a hurry, you know, there's all sorts of different ways that we want to get our food to us. We've got Uber Eats, DoorDash, Skip the Dishes. Everybody's in a hurry. And so we live in an incredibly hurried society. Now, Jesus himself modeled that, you know, he did activity. You know, the scripture is full of Jesus's activities. It's not that he was slow in the things that he was doing that he didn't do anything. Of course he did stuff. And at times he was busy. But Jesus always balanced that out with times of withdrawing. And so you will find in scripture that there are times when Jesus pulls away from the crowds, goes to a solitary place. And so Jesus was active, did things, but he also balanced it out with times of withdrawing and solitude and aloneness. This is what it says in Mark 6:31. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. Now, that's busy. He said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And Jesus was very interested in having rest as well as doing ministry. It wasn't an either or for him. He balanced it out. God said in the book of Psalms, be still and know that I am God. That it is in times of stillness that we really get a sense of God in our lives. And could it be that we're in such a hurry that we don't take the time to be still? And so we need to pull ourselves back and, like, you know, the warning, heed the warning. Be still and know that I am God. Let's take a diagnostic. You know, maybe you're not thinking, well, I'm not that hurried. Let's just go through and say, okay, let's see what it is. Are you constantly speeding up daily activities? And so you're trying to do them faster and faster and faster, get more things accomplished. There's this phrase called FOMO, which is fear of missing out. And so sometimes we hurry here, there, and everywhere because we don't want to miss out on anything. We go get ourselves involved in more activities, doing more things because we're fear of missing out. And so we do more and faster because we're afraid that we're going to miss out on something. We start doing multiple tasking. What do I mean by that? Multiple tasking is where you do multiple things at the same time. Now, probably most of us, our main multiple tasking place is our vehicle, where we, and that's probably not good because it's going to be keyed, you know, could be a part of distracted driving. But most of us are eating in our cars, we're making phone calls in our cars, we're trying to get multiple things done. And so we're doing multiple tasking, and it's shown that really multitasking is not as effective as we think it is. And so when we start to do that, we're actually just shows that we're in a hurry. Our lives are very cluttered. North American society is overwhelmingly cluttered with stuff. We have so many projects that we want to do, things that we want to get done, and so we get our lives and we fill it all with clutter because we're hoping that we're going to have time to be able to accomplish and do those things. And so if your life is full of clutter, you are showing that you're probably caught up in hurried sickness. Oftentimes it can lead to superficiality in our relationships, you know, that we're in such a hurry that if we see somebody at the mall or out and about, we'll actually go the other direction to try to avoid people because it leads to superficial relationships because we're just in too much of a hurry to talk to people. And so then we don't develop any depth in our relationships. It's very superficial because while we're just in too much of a hurry, which the other part of that is that we have an inability to be able to love because of that. And so again, creates a shallowness of relationship because while we're too busy moving on to the next thing in order to be able to build a relationship, because everybody knows that relationships take time and energy. And if we don't have time and we don't have energy to do that, we will be unable to develop loving and caring relationships. And it continued. You start to skim on important relationships. Most of the time, we skim on our important relationships because we've exhausted so much energy the rest of the day. And so at the end of the day, you know, the people who really should be a part of your, that you're giving the most to, actually, you know, if you're a married relationship, you stood and said vows to that other individual saying that you would give of your time and your life for that individual. But oftentimes it's that individual who ends up getting, I'm not going to be able to spend as much time with you. Same with our kids. And so those relationships that need the most time and energy, we start to skim on those so that we can focus on other things. And that's just another sign of hurried sickness. You rush when there's no reason to. Now, I've done this before, is that sometimes you just get in a hurry. You know, I'll be down at the park or something going for a walk, and I'll just want to get home. And I'm going to get, well, why do I want to get home? There's no reason I need to rush to get home. But, you know, you just feel like you're always in a rush. You know, that the clock is ticking, and I can't just enjoy something. I got to get to the next thing. And so we're always in a rush, and oftentimes there's no reason for us to be in a rush, but we're just so used to being in a rush that we can't even enjoy the things that we're trying to enjoy. You lose a sense of gratitude and wonder. You know, sometimes you'll be driving and you'll notice that, oh man, there's a beautiful rainbow, or there is a beautiful sunset, sunrise, whatever, something beautiful that's going around. But oftentimes you're not grateful for it because all you are is in a hurry to get to the next task. And so oftentimes we lose our sense of gratitude and appreciation for what we have, and our sense of wonder at the awe of all that's going on around. You know, it's fall right now, and we get to enjoy all these beautiful trees. But how many of us have actually slowed down enough in order to be able to appreciate that? And so we begin to lose our sense of gratitude and wonder. And another sign of hurried sicknesses is that often we indulge in self-destructive behaviors. And because we're in such a hurry and we're so fatigued, we're looking for things that will make us feel better. And so then we will indulge in things that we know that we shouldn't indulge. We'll eat too much. We'll watch too much TV. We'll get caught up in alcohol or drugs or something else in order to be able to try to make ourselves feel. And so we feel better. And so we end up using these self-destructive escapes to try to feel better because we're just exhausted from our life of hurriedness. And so as we went through those, did you see yourself in any of those that, you know, you had the signs of hurried sickness? Well, so what do we do? How do we cure this hurry sickness that we have? And let me give you three suggestions or three ideas on what we need to do in order to be able to deal with hurried sickness, because it's an important part of our spiritual formation. The first one is that we need to slow down. We need to begin the process of slowing things down. And this will require choosing carefully what you say yes to. You know, if you're saying yes to something, in North America, oftentimes we all kind of live, you know, you have to get a job, you have to do these, you have to buy a house. And, you know, sometimes when you buy a house, you know, you're buying all the other things that are going to consume your time. You're going to have to mow the lawn. You're going to have to shovel the driveway. You're going to have to do routine maintenance. You're going to have to do the gardening. You're going to have to, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so when you said yes to the house, you said yes to all these other things. And sometimes we don't know the amount of time that we're committing. So we pick up a hobby and we say yes to that, or we say yes to some other activity, and we don't know all the time that goes along with that. And so we end up getting into a hurried lifestyle because we didn't choose carefully what we say yes to. And if we are really interested in slowing down, we have to be careful with the yes. And so we have to be very, very diligent in not taking on more than what we are able to, because if you keep saying yes to things, eventually something is going to pay the price. And probably it's going to be your family. And the other one is that it's going to be your relationship with God. If you say yes to too many things, those are the two areas that we probably skim the most on. And so one of the first things we need to do is we need to slow down. And how do we slow down? By watching what we say yes to. The other thing is that you have to start to give yourself some margin. If you want to live in a more slow fashion, you know, if you're 15 minutes from the appointment, give yourself a half hour. Give yourself a little bit of extra time so that you're not so rushed. I know that I have to be conscious of this right now because of the construction that's going on there. You have to give yourself extra time, because if you don't, you're going to be rushed. And so you have to try to give yourself a little bit more margin in order to be able to slow down. Because most of us don't give ourselves enough space. And if we don't give any space in our lives, we do not create any room for God to move in our lives. Because we're so regimented, we're so on such a tight schedule, that we're going to miss out on what God is trying to do. And so we have to slow down. Now this one, this suggestion is probably going to sound so foreign and so strange that you're going to say, that's cuckoo. But we need to start to choose slow things intentionally to try to slow us down. Now, what do I mean? Park further away from the front door. Don't jockey for that front position. Park a little bit further away. Take a little more time. Maybe when you're choosing the line, if you're like me, if you're at the grocery store, you're always looking, which one's a shorter one? Which one's the one? Instead of doing that, choose the long one intentionally. Make yourself wait. You know, and so maybe that's what we need to do is we need to start choosing things to slow us down so that we're not so annoyed all the time at things not going fast. We live in a culture where speed is everything. You know, that's what fast food. We want things fast, fast, fast. And our annoyance with slowness makes slowness seem unappealing to us. And God is interested in us slowing down. And so those are three things that we can do in order to be able to help us to start to slow down. And then we need to, after we slow down, then we need to start stilling ourselves. You know, we always talk about chilling. We need to start stilling. We need to be still. Scripture tells us, we already read this scripture, be still and know that I am God. Be still. And God is very interested in us being still. And sometimes still, and we talked about this last week, I don't want to be harping on about, but our electronics is keeping us from really being still. We spend so much time on any type of screen, and we end up missing the opportunities that we could be having to be still. And probably one of the best exercises that we can do is limiting, and this has been, you know, the new TV. There was a show just recently on Amazon, and they didn't release it all at once. They released it episode by episode, like we used to do in the 70s and the 80s. They actually released it slowly, and people were mad because they wanted to binge it. They wanted to watch the whole shooting match. And we've become now a binge TV generation where we can't just watch one episode. We have to watch the whole thing. And so we have to learn, if we want to learn to still, we're going to have to learn to turn it off. And boy, this principle sounds easy, but one of the most difficult things in our day and age is to turn our electronics off and to be still. How else do we still? Well, we need to enjoy nature more. You know, a lot of people are suffering from depression and anxiety, and one of the main things that you know the specialists are saying is that you need to go for a walk. You need to get out into nature and just enjoy it. The fresh air is refreshing, and it also causes you to slow down. And there are all sorts of positive physical things that happen and mental things that happen when we just start to enjoy nature. Isn't it interesting that it says in the Bible, the heavens declare the glory of God, that we can see God in His creation? And part of stilling is to be able to slow down enough and to be able to enjoy God's creation. Many people I've talked to talk about the fact that they feel and experience God more fully in nature than anywhere else. So why wouldn't we want to still by getting out into nature? And we also need to choose the better. There's a story in Scripture about Mary and Martha. And, you know, and Martha is the busy one. She's the one that's running around doing all the stuff, getting the meal ready. And she's getting mad at Mary because Mary's decided to sit at the feet of Jesus and just listen to him. And she's going, she says to Jesus, "Will you make my sister come and help me in the kitchen?" And Jesus says something very profound. He says about Mary that she chose the better. We live in a world of options. Tons and tons and tons of options. And as far as what we can consume our time with, we have a myriad of options. And I think this is really funny because our society was forced to slow down. And so almost everything came to a standstill. And what did we do? Well, we fought for toilet paper, but that's another story. But oftentimes we ended up filling our time with just other activities. You know, nothing wrong with that. You know, we played board games and we did puzzles and we watched movies and we did... And none of those are bad. They're all good. Those are all nice things. But did we choose the better? Jesus, when talking about Mary, says that when she sat down at the feet of Jesus, she chose better. And in this day and age, we have to start choosing better. There are lots of great activities out there, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with them. But you can choose better. And choosing to be still and know that He is God is better. But many times, all we did was exchange one type of busyness for another type of busyness. And the last thing, so we need to slow down, we need to still, and we need to move towards solitude. Jesus often went away to deserted place of solitude. So he pulled away from the crowds and he pulled away and he spent time alone or just with his disciples. And so he moved towards solitude. And it is the one place where we can gain freedom from the forces of society that will otherwise relentlessly mold us. That's a profound thought, that when we pull away from the rest of the world and we have a time of solitude, we actually go to the person who can help us to be formed to be the way that God wants us. If we don't, we will go to the forces that are going to shape us in a totally different way. And so God wants to have time for us to come to Him so that we can be formed into His image. There's an illustration. I remember hearing this years ago about the frog in the kettle, that if you tried to put a frog into really hot water, it would just automatically jump out. But if you put it into lukewarm water, that it would stay there. And if you slowly heated up the temperature, that it wouldn't know that it was changing. The environment was changing, and it would be killed. I always thought it was rather sick that there were people that did that. But the point is that sometimes we don't know that the environment that we live in is actually lethal to spiritual formation. This busy, busy world that we live in is lethal to spiritual formation. And so we're like the frog in the kettle that's just been left in this environment, and it slowly but surely is killing us. But yet we continue to be caught up in the treadmill of activity. Romans 12:2 says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. And how does the world squeeze you into its mold? If the devil can't make you bad, he's going to make you busy. And he's going to make you busy, and because if you are busy, you are going to miss God's better. And you are not going to choose better. And so we need to be choosing solitude. Because if we don't, the world is going to choose faster, busier, and noisier. We live in an incredibly noisy environment. And Jesus said, solitude is a place where, you know, the hymn says, just as I am, I come. Solitude is the place where I can come just as I am. Just as I am. That no pretense. Henry Nouwen puts it, he says, I get rid of all my scaffolding. You know, scaffolding is used to prop things up. And so Henry Nouwen says, I get rid of all my scaffolding, the things that I use to keep myself propped up in public life. All those things can come down, and I am able to come just as I am to Jesus. But it's going to take perseverance. This is not something that is going to happen easily in our spiritual lives. People do not, in North American society, easily slip into a life of choosing to slow down and spend time in solitude. I don't even know if I know of hardly anybody who has modeled this. I don't know if I know anybody. I know that I have not really practiced these things. But Jesus wants us to spend time slowing down, coming away with him. And we have to fight that our thought that, you know, if I do slow down, you're fighting the thought that I'm wasting time. I'm wasting time doing this. Because what is a hurried society? You need to get more done, do more things, do this, do that. And so you start fighting the idea that all I'm doing is wasting time. And Jesus says, this is not a waste of time. Coming to me, that's choosing better. And so it amplifies the other disciplines. This is what solitude does, as we begin to find time to pull aside and just to be still and know that he is God, that then the other disciplines are amplified. So the things like reading scripture and praying and celebration, those become more amplified because we have taken the time to pull ourselves away from the distractions that are all around us. This is why Jesus, when he was encouraging people to pray, what did he say? Go find a closet. Like, a closet? Why a closet? Well, because it is a solitude experience. And so he wants us to pull away. It also begins to increase our awareness. It increases our awareness to the voice of God. Because when you are away from the noise, you will be able to hear better. Just before I read that scripture, there's a song, it was done by 21 Pilots called Car Radio, where the guy's talking about that he had his car radio stolen, and now he just sits in his car and he sits in silence. And he's afraid of the silence because in our modern generation, we're used to noise. No matter where we go, we like noise. We can't handle silence. And oftentimes we don't like silence because when we're in the silence, we are forced to kind of reflect and think on things. But if all we have is noise, it keeps me from going into a deeper level of being able to tune into the voice of God. And Scripture says that our awareness of God is increased when we pull away, that we are more attentive to the voice of God when things are still. And so God wants us to increase our awareness. And I love Psalm 139, 23, and 24, because, and this is a prayer, and it says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And so when we have time and we actually are still, ask God, say, "Search me, God. Search me, God," and then reflect on your day. I've actually posted on our Facebook, it's on our webpage, calendarbaychurch.ca, just a short excerpt from The Life You've Always Wanted. And it gives some guidelines on just how to take some time and reflect and ask God to search. Go through your day. Say, "You know, God, this is what happened today. And would you search me and see if there was anything that I could have done differently?" Reflect on how your day has unfolded, and ask God to search you and know your heart and reveal it to you. Because sometimes we go through life and we don't really pay attention to what's going on in our hearts. Sometimes we're not aware fully of our behavior and why we're doing things. And I think it's in that stillness, in that solitude, that God begins to reveal to us, you know, where is it that we need to change? What does God want to do in our lives? And we can ask God, "Would you lead me?" That's the last portion of this. God wants to lead you. You know, he wants you to be attentive to his will and what he wants to do. And it's only as we still ourselves and pull away in solitude that God can really speak to our hearts. And sometimes we think about it. You know, we ask ourselves the question, you know, "I wonder why God isn't as real to me. I wonder why my spirituality is floundering." Could it be because we've never really slowed down? We've never really taken time and made and persevered to have some solitude? That we've never really been quiet enough in order to be able to hear the voice of God and to reflect on how that influences me and you? I want to leave you with the same quote that we said earlier. If we really are interested in following Christ, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And as you watch this morning, are you busy? You've got hurried sickness? And you've never really taken the time and the perseverance to slow down and to be still and to take times of solitude. You know, if we have ever wondered why maybe our other areas of our spirituality are floundering, because it's in solitude that those are amplified. And as we close the service, will you take the time to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life so that you can slow down and to be still and know that he is God? If we miss this, we will settle for a mediocre version of spirituality, and we will never see God accomplish the things that we want to see happen in our lives. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this is such a challenge for us in North America. Even in the midst of COVID, we still are very interested in activity. And in many regards, we mourn the loss of our activity. But maybe you would have wanted us to use this time so that we could be still and know that you are God. To come away with you. To be like Mary and choose the better. Not to consume ourselves with other activities, but to really slow down, be still, and know that you are God. Father, help us to be able to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives, because we know that it will be the greatest distraction to keep us from following you. And so, Father, we pray that as we go through this week, would you help us to be still, to slow down, and to seek solitude with you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We want to sing, and it's one of my favorite songs. I say that a lot. I love songs. And this one is, I Will Be Still and Know That You Are God. Let's make this our prayer, that I will be still and know that you are God. Let's sing together.
Oh,
and rest my soul in Christ alone. Know His power in quietness and trust when the oceans rise and fall. Is wrong. I will soar with you above the storm.
Oh yes, I will.
Father, you are King over the flood.
Well, I pray that we would make that a reality in our lives, that we would be still and know that He is God, that we would ruthlessly remove hurry from our lives so that we can move towards the life we've always wanted of being conformed and changed to the image of Christ. But it's going to take us taking the time, slowing down, being still, and knowing that He is God. God bless you as you go through your week. Again, we are going to be having our family service next week. And so if you're interested in that, go to our webpage, calendarbaychurch.ca, and you can sign up to be a part of that. Masks are required, and it should be a great time next Sunday. Oh, also, KFM is having a charathon this week, and you can be a part of that and help support Christian radio in our community. God bless you. Have a great week, and be still. Know that He is God.
Cool. quietness and trust. When the oceans rise and thunders roll, I will soar with you.